Welcome to this special episode of Lyckligare Nu, or Happier Now, as we say in English. Today we have our new friend, Kelly Mabel, with us, and she's from Canada. Welcome, Kelly.
Hello there. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you here. We met Kelly just a couple of months ago, Niklas and I, and it has been a really great trip and great time. We have been on many webinars and had great conversations there. So Kelly, we would like to know a little bit more about you. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself and what you do professionally?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, first I want to say that these two gentlemen sort of fell into my lap in an experience that I've been exploring for 5 years. And that's the beauty of the community of the three principles and the beauty of me finding my way through the journey of life. And my work has been, I would say, under development for the last 5 years, but I think now I could take it on as it's going to be a life journey. So 5 years ago, I left what I would know my regular work and as a teacher and a cosmetologist. And I went into an international college to go back to school to learn about coaching. And that journey unfolded more than I ever thought it would. It began with a all systemic corporate coaching style, which moved and morphed into me seeing the freedoms I wanted to have with my coaching and my style. And I did work for that company for a few years. And then I became very interested in more of a spiritual, less systemic, more connected style of coaching. And, you know, past all the credentialing I could tell everybody here, I'm going to say that I'm a human becoming. I'm living in the feeling moment to moment in seeing potential and possibility and the creative potential behind everything that I'm doing, including this work. And so my work has morphed and changed, and I left the college to move more into what I found within myself in exploring the three principles. And that ended up being more of a one-to-one personal journey with people like yourselves and working with women in business, because I had had worked many years prior to my career change with business and business openings. So I find myself on a beautiful exploratory journey every day to humans, human people, and my humanness.
Great to hear. In your business, Kelly, what do you offer? What kind of jobs do you do? What kind of services do you offer?
Mm-hmm. So in exploring that journey, one of the things that I felt being part of this larger corporate world was that I was an imposter and that I really didn't know what I was doing. And at moment to moment, I kept thinking, I don't know who I am. This isn't right for me. And who do I think I am? But what I found was that coaching was actually bringing more out of myself. Because if there are people out there that are coaches, they may understand that each time you meet and greet a client, they're usually mirroring yourself, who you are and the things that you're going to be working on. And so with each client that I was using for practicum purposes for my licensing, I was able to experience a part of me. And so working with women most predominantly, yet men are definitely a part of my business. When I left the college, I was just doing one-on-one coaching. Yet I had been a teacher, as I said, by trade. And I feel so fulfilled when someone goes, oh, or they have that moment of awareness and they see something. And, you know, where George and Linda Pransky might say, they get into a reflective state of insight. And I was just filling up with that. And I realized, can you imagine what that would be in groups? And so on April 6th last year, at the very beginning of COVID, began very significantly in Canada on March 15th. And something grabbed a hold of me, an inner wisdom, I'll say, that said, I was doing a workout and I was just around the corner from my place, and on the way home, something said, do a video. And I was like, what the? I've left the area of video. I'm not really in a place to do that. And I walked a little further closer and it said, do a video. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this about? And it was so strong that I couldn't not listen. And so I went back and I did a video, and it literally came out of me from no understanding I had had prior to saying it. And I said to the world on Facebook, would anybody like to join me in a curriculum to declutter your mind and be clear about your direction and focus and looking in a way that you might not have seen before? And then I closed my phone and I thought, what am I doing? You know, immediately imposter syndrome. But I want to say that to the question you asked, that changed my entire career and the work that I do. So now I am working with individuals, finding who they truly are in group sessions. I began my first course on April the 17th. That was a 24-week course on exploring the principles and who people really are in creating results. Because people were looking for that curve. They were looking for the change. They were in a place of uncertainty, a VUCA world, if you will, volatile experience. And, you know, somewhere along the line, they looked to me to guide them or show them. And that was the moment of change for me. So since then, I've been working with, so I've had four curriculums, all of which have been in different models, because I'm a woman of change. And so I have sameness, but I also have change. And so what happened was I went from one-to-one coaching to group coaching. I was taking a maximum of 12 in class. And last year, I ran three classes, all of different lengths and all of different experiences. One was a class for people learning to see who they are. And then that class moved into a class called Minding My Business Equals Results. Putting the mind to the business at hand, the business of who they really were. And the third class was and is Clarity 2021. Which is running currently. And the fourth class was called Commercial Transformation, which is speaking authentically to the commercial conversation of business, the ask, if you will, and finding that place of ease and peace. So that's what I'm doing now. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
Oh, no, that was perfect.
I think it's cool that you listen to your inner voice that time when you do a video. Mm-hmm. And then think if more people have the courage to listen to that voice and try something new.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
I think the voice calls everyone. I think I call it that inner voice for me at that time, but that inner wisdom, that innate wisdom, you know, when I was in that state of mind, I was finished my workout, I was feeling at peace, actually probably a little proud of myself because, you know, I had done what I needed to do. And it was early morning and the sun was coming up. And so there was, and I was out just witnessing, as I was leaving that experience of workout. And so there was a calm state of being within me, calm enough for me to hear the call. And that's that place where often I've been too busy, too revved up, too much in a state of thinking to even know there's a call, to even know that there's something within me greater than my thinking. Yeah. And it's in everybody.
Mm. Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, I saw actually a movie, the Wayne Dyer movie. That is called The Shift, where Wayne Dyer, he plays himself as Wayne Dyer. It's a nice concept. And I thought it was a really nice movie in many ways. It kind of points to the shift that happens in people when they see some kind of new truth and so on. And it was nice to see how different lives changed when they saw something new, when they got up one level or two levels in their consciousness and so on, and so sort of a new world. But the strange thing was that like a couple of days later, I felt really strange in my body. I had a really bad headache, and I was feeling, there's some shift ongoing. So, and the week that went by, it was really strange. I couldn't really think as much as I usually do because it was so painful. So I had to really slow down a couple of steps more. I was relaxed before, but I had to be really relaxed. So, and then on the Friday, I was out walking with my dogs in the woods here. And then suddenly, almost all of my personal thinking just fell away. And I was just kind of, as you said, after your workout there, but there was no thinking. I was just experiencing nature and, you know, the blue, wonderful skies and the trees. And as in all great experiences, there were, of course, white light because there was snow outside. So the, you know, the sun really reflected in the snow and so on. But it was such a strange experience not to have, you know, some kind of thought flow going on, some kind of creative mind activity. And it took me a couple of days to really sort that out, what happened here. And then I saw clearly that, well, I had some kind of shift, and I slowed down, and I got into some kind of different state. And then I was thinking, what am I slowing down to? And then it just came to me, well, I'm slowing down to the speed of love. And then I thought, oh, that's the perfect theme for the pod episode with Kelly. So I thought we could talk a little bit about that, slowing down and slowing down to a different pace.
I love that. I love that. And you hadn't shared me the reason that came to you other than just the fact that that was the topic. But having a reference to your internal shift that place in you that saw that. I love that. And what I see that for myself as is that love is there with me at all times. It surrounds me, it embraces me, it's with me, it's externally outside myself. And the speed in which I'm moving is the catalyst in what I see. So when I'm just that bit slower, or I'd say even better, at ease, as you said, in nature, you know, in nature for me, I'm witnessing love in its fullest expression. When I'm slow enough in the speed of myself to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're busy minded, you don't see the nature. You know, you see the forest, but you don't see the trees.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's that place where, you know, I'm sure the listeners can relate to that place where, you know, you're thinking, okay, for me, I'm like, okay, I've been in my Hollywood squares. I've been online. I've been doing Zooms. I've been doing calls. I got to get out of the house. And so you finally find the time to do so. And then you get out there and think, well, I better make this a workout. You better get, you know, so you're, you know, you know, I haven't had my workout today. Let's make it a workout. And I guess what I'm referring to is it's not that type of experience. It's the experience with regards to the love that I feel when even in a workout, even knowing that that workout is ever present, that I can still see where I am, what's around me, what's happening, what is love in that moment, my heart beating, my gratitude for having two legs to be able to hike or do the stairs or have the workout that I'm doing, the smiles on people's faces as I pass by in nature, the capturing the sunsets, you know, through the peak of the trees. You're bringing me back to just my place I like to go walk. And when I'm there, even if I am, you know, hoofing it, I can still see the love through the speed of those things.
Yeah, I have that experience sometimes at the grocery store. It's quite funny. Often when you go to the grocery store, you are going to do something. You are going to buy via the list. And that's the only thing that you should do. So you are so up in your thinking to get the stuff. But if you go into the grocery store and just think, okay, I'm going to shop, but see all the people there. And I did that sometimes, and often more now than before. And when I look at the people there, I see more people that I know that I haven't seen before. But they have been there, but I'm so busy in my mind, so I can't reflect on who I'm meeting in the grocery store. But if I just go in to do the shopping without any stress, without any thought that I'm in a hurry, I see so much more, and the connection between the people I know grow much, much stronger. The same is in the work in the office where I work. Before, my understanding on the three principles, I was there to do my work. That was my purpose. When I got the knowledge of the three principles, I'm more calm, which lead to my fewer conflicts with the colleagues, fewer discussion with the colleagues, and more love with the colleagues. More understanding for the other people's situations than mine. And I feel that the colleagues has been being calmer also when I'm calm. So when I'm calm, I'm spreading this to the other people.
Mm-hmm. It's the natural ripple.
Yeah.
If it goes back to love, that love for yourself in calm is rippling in its experience, like truth carries itself. Well, calm does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're bringing a different you, so everybody's like, is second looking or experiencing something different. And that reflection, that's that reflection. What's going on over there? Wow. He's different today. She's different today.
One thing that I noticed after my experience there a couple of weeks ago was that most people I meet, they are really busy-minded. I didn't see that in that way before. If you're really busy-minded, it's really hard to listen to other people. And I mean, sometimes in the job, I have to say the same thing like 5 times. And then the 5th time, someone hears me. So previously, some people, they seem quite relaxed, but now I really see how uptight they are in certain situations, and that there are some kind of fear that is playing in their minds that gets in the way.
I'm hearing you on that level, and there's this thing that was brought up at the Pransky's convention not so long ago that I just loved, because as I witness other people, as I grow, and as the both of you grow in the understanding, we see so much more of ourself, and where, you know, I have the opportunity to look back and go, wow. And someone said, when looking back and reflecting on the wow, the mindful concept of comparison is the thief of joy. And I was like, yeah. Like, I realized that my ability to even consider comparison robs me of the present joy that I'm in. Because I realize, within my own family network, for example, you know, I've been doing all this work. So my family's like, what are you doing? Like, actually, they're not, they don't even want to know. They don't want to know what I'm doing. I could be weird to them. I found, you know, that usually they call it counseling, you know, and so not, at the point of speaking to fear or misunderstanding, their mind is at a place where they don't want to see it. They don't want to. They're not there in it. They don't want to see it. And so my joy gets lost when I compare myself to, well, brother. You know, you're XY, like, clearly you're, or I fall into that frame of thinking that I've got more or difference or anything in comparison to him who is doing just the absolute best he can in the moment-to-moment experience of his life. And so I love that concept because I catch myself, especially with my family, and I see now that it's robbing me of the joy that I'm in when I am not looking at my family as absolutely whole and complete, unbroken, never needing anything. And so it's made a difference for me to stay in the love, the speed of that love, where when I'm in a place in speaking to a staff member or someone that supports me in what I do in work, that they're not 5 years into the principles of understanding. and you're right, Philip. You know, they have many, many things to contend with in their minds, many that I don't have any understanding around. Some of them, you know, larger than life experiences, working around family members and elderly and things like that. So I quickly see my demise of staying in the joy and more often staying in the listening. And one of the metaphors I use with my participants, my friends in my groups that I share with, is, you know, people want to be heard. And even if I see the busy mind that they have, if I allow, you know, when you go to an old cottage, we've had cottages when we were kids. And when we go to the old college and it's springtime and we're going to open it up, and, you know, you go to that, we used to well pump, you know, or, you know, the tap, the old taps, and you turn it on and all the sludge and garbage comes out.
Yeah.
But sooner than a couple minutes, you'll notice that clear water. And so what I realize is that the sped up mind outside of the loving speed of life is all that dirty water. And people just really want to get it out. And then when I listen to them deeply, I can give them the experience of time for the water to clear. And then somewhere in that clarity, whether it be, well, that was a really great call, thanks very much, bye. Or, and we support there, the sludge.
Yeah.
Or actually after a while, the sludge gets less and less. And the listening, for me, stays what it is. But for them, it's the hearing that becomes omniscient,
yeah,
where they become all-knowing of what they're doing. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure does. I think you get comfortable in knowing that you don't know so much after a while in this understanding. I mean, previously I had much more fixed ideas about how things worked and how they didn't work and what you should do and what you really shouldn't do. Now, I still have my experience. I know what worked last time. I maybe have an idea that it will work this time as well, or the other way around, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, there's a possibility that there could be another way. That makes you much more humble and open to new ideas and new ways of looking at solving problems or at living life and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with the speed of mind as well, because you don't have to process all those concepts or ideas or things that happened. I can be comfortable. I don't know how the world will look in 6 months? I have no idea, but I'm good anyway. Mm-hmm. If I'm present in this moment, I will see the opportunities that arise and be open to them, instead of, you know, just being in the tunnel, moving forward towards the master plan.
And I believe that is when the mind is in fully speed, you don't let out anything, and you don't listen to anyone as much to anybody as you should do. And you try to think that if I only do this, I will be more successful. If I only do this, then I'm come to calm later, but I need to do this. So many people, including myself, live in the future all the time and not in the present. But if you let go of the future and only be present, as Philip says, the opportunity will rise, and probably the opportunity will be even better than the thoughts of the future. So if you just trust your inner wisdom to calm down in the speed of mind or thinking, then all the solutions will come to you from your inner wisdom.
Yeah, and I could offer that, you know, since we're talking about speed and slowing down to the speed of love, you know, speed is irrelevant, because time, you know, time is always happening moment to moment.
Yeah.
And so the choice of speed in that time frame, you know, what we think, what we need to do, when we're going to do it. I think that the biggest aha for the people in the world these days was the fact that I'm sure some of you, maybe the two of you, you know, planned a holiday for 2019.
Yeah.
And looked into the future at, you know, possibly a cruise or flying to Canada or having an experience. And the truth of the matter that showed up for us all was that living in the future experiences of what we think will happen was very apparent, you know, very quickly disguised in that moment when we were booking it, to the truth of what it really is when it transpired. So the future is only an illusion. Because we don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, it's interesting when I'm in a busy-minded state, not that busy as I was before, but, you know, sometimes you still fall into the traps and get a bit busy-minded. And then I often think, oh, well, I should take a walk with the dogs. And then I could go to this special place in the forest, because there I can really calm down. And then I often walk for 5 minutes and then I just realize, but I can calm down here instead. So then I just calm down and... yeah, things are great again.
Yeah, it's who was it? Sid, actually, it was Sid. Sid in the Great Illusion. He said, he says some people go to the Himalayas, some people find themselves in India, some people become Tibetan monks. You know, and. The unfolding line of that particular podcast was, what you're searching for, you're searching with.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So to speak to what you just said, Philip, in the moment, you are the stillness or the silence, or, you know, where you are that everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Taking, you know, even though we may lose sight of that, as I certainly do. Trust me, I certainly do.
It's the thing to be human, to do that, to live in the game of being human, is to lost it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when you have find the truths of the three principles, you have find the shortcut to the inner wisdom, to the calm, to the place where the thought stills down. And you are there.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to go to find it. It's only to sit down and relax, and then you're there. Before, I thought I find all the happiness in the Canary Islands in Spain. But now I find it back in my home in Uppsala, or in the work. It doesn't matter where I am, I'm always carrying it with me.
Mm-hmm. I find it personally in my napping. I've become a grand napper.
Yeah, okay.
I think more about the fact that that love, the speed in which we're looking for that love, you know, even to the nap, for example, even to the nap.
Or to the cat.
Yes, my cat, you're noticing on my lap here, feeling the speed of love we're having. He has come over to celebrate the love with us. And that place where, no matter where I am, there I go. You know, taking me, my wisdom, or not, depending on what level of mind I'm in, and being okay with knowing that it changes, it ever moves, it's ever just, you know, flowing around. And when I get in a place, a reflective place, that is, I think I'm just becoming more and more aware of the in and out. And even that, in the time that I've experienced the understanding, is miraculous. Going, wow, are you ever out right now? Okay, got it. Right? Rather than thinking about how I'm out, spending more time in thinking about how I'm out, how I'm going to get back in, what do I have to do? You know, where am I going to find the still spot? I'm at the mall. Maybe I should go to my car. And just realizing that in that moment, right then, you know, the essence of me is saying, here you are. And I get to recognize that essence now. Right, thank you. Thank you, right. Okay. And whether it be, you know, for some people, they just get physical. They tap into themselves in some way. Other people breathe. Other people, they still think that there needs to be a destination. And that's okay too. But I'm becoming more and more aware, like Philip was saying, is you saw the shift between, you know, in your house and outside doing a nature experience. And then the next shift around, wow, I'm right here. Yeah. Here I am, right? You know, right in that moment. That's beautiful. That's consciousness. As Sid would say, consciousness and consciousness. Thought and thought. You know, the laughter around that is that it's just like that. It's like, oh, it was thought. Oh, thought. No, you mean thought.
So yesterday we attended your wonderful webinar with Linda but it was really nice. And I think in the end of it, you talked a little bit about being excited and as being a good thing. And I thought about that afterwards. Well, why does Kelly want to be excited? And then I thought, oh, you can just be in this wonderful, wonderful feeling. Why? And then it just hit me that, I mean, there are two kinds of excited. The first one is the one that I think most people can refer to. It's like, oh, I got a new car, I'm excited. Or I'm going to this great trip, I'm really excited. Or I'm opening this bottle of something and celebrating. But there's actually another type of excited state as well. And for me at least, it's when I'm really calm in my mind, but I have this aliveness. I feel the energy just moving, and so often it's when I'm listening to some good music, and you know, there's just this great feeling of being alive, and it has nothing to do with the circumstances, really. It's just great moment.
Mm-hmm. I love that you bring that up because. Because for me, what I was sharing was that place where when I'm learning something new, for example, when I was at the college, there's kind of like protocol, the way of being, you know, in a frame of corporate or societal acceptance or gender or being a guest at someone's house, or, you know, there's just models of ways of being. And as I explore myself, one of the happiest ways of being that I know is attributing to a lot of what I do in my life is that I'm what I would call exuberant or higher energy. I hold this sort of like, I have a little cackle in my voice. People have told me that before. You know, I could be Melissa Etheridge if I was a singer, or Janis Joplin. And, you know, and I love that you brought up music because I fully engage in that as well. And what I was sharing in the call was that in the principles, the feeling that you're talking to, Philip, and that Nicholas, I'm sure all of us here have really deeply fallen into, is that place of stillness and love and truth and omniscience. And I mean, all the adjectives we could put on this beautiful, like coming home space of being within ourselves. And there was a place in my life that wasn't good. There was a lost sense of self. I was quite a vibrant child and definitely promiscuous and definitely into lots of different troubles, where my siblings, they didn't necessarily have that. They were kind of conformists and I was kind of rule breaker. But I share that because the argument in myself for a long, long time was that wasn't good. And in my family dynamic at times. And so some of the old beliefs or things that I've carried as if they're cherished understandings were working against me in my mind around who Kelly really is. And this alive, excited human being who kind of is like, let's go now, let's do it now. And, you know, have this really, where sometimes people wished they were that, you know, really wanting to be with me because of that experience, because I'm like, let's just go do it, you know, let's just go have this. So when I came to the understanding of the principles, I realized, and more my understanding through coaching and through listening, deep listening, I realized there was a massive amount of presence that energy, that woo, let's go, was not able to bring. And so it was about finding that balance between Kelly and Kelly, as if the skill of listening, deep listening, just hadn't been honed. It wasn't as if I didn't own it, although for many years I thought I didn't. It was as if I hadn't even put a focus over there. So in starting my career in coaching, the first thing they said was get into a deep listening space. And we learned about the levels of listening, the first, the second, and the third. And it was like, wow, I wasn't listening at all. And I just was like, as I looked back, comparing myself to, you know, I thought, well, you're 48 now, you're going to begin listening. And I removed all the judgment on myself at that time. Now, in my coaching sessions where I was doing practicums and really working, of course, I had tons of judgment when the, you know, supervisor would say, yeah, no, I'm sorry, you only graded a 6 on that one because you weren't listening. You know, you weren't listening. And so I just realized where my work was and what the principles and the feeling you speak about and that place was that I had an opportunity, like I feel the creative potential of life was pointing me into the direction of divine listening. And first to myself around the self-criticism. And then deeply listening to other people to the point where I was creating connections that were lifelong. And I was able also to decipher those that were a fit for my life rather than just listening endlessly to the tap, right? Who were fitting with where I was going. And there are so many beautiful people out there that doesn't necessarily make them my fit, right? They're probably your fit or someone else's fit, and there's a beautiful place for them. And so I had the massive insight around the degree and who I could be if I wanted to invoke the learning of that skill. And so I'm happy to say that as I expressed that, I was expressing the fact that I really did believe I needed to be someone else. I was learning from the best, and we haven't mentioned that I've been hosting these amazing speakers, and it's gone on for 2 months and it's going on for a third, and we're well into the fourth in planning. And it's like an opportunity for complimentary education for Kelly. And what I saw in the conversation with Linda Pettit, Dr. Linda Pettit, was what you were saying was that place where I wasn't seeing the beauty in Kelly. I wasn't hearing it.
She'd said something during the webinar that talked to me. She said, look after to find the beauty in everything and start to look in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, start with yourself.
That's start right. With yourself, yeah. And that is was beautiful. And it's get to me directly because it's so true. Start with yourself and then start to look at the beauty on everything. And then magical things will happen. Connection between people will happen and the love will spread all over the world.
So thank you, Kelly. That was a really wonderful conversation with you and Nicholas. Before we end, would you mind telling us a little bit more about how to get in contact with you and if there is any special service or offering that you would like to tell those who listen about?
Sure. I just want to say that that the topic around the speed of love is what you see within yourself, what's right for you, and the speed in which you're going to get to it. And so whether it be me or it's Philip and Nicholas or other speakers, how you get there and the speed in which you arrive will be completely up to you. So I do have offers that are open to everybody. My largest plight is to ensure that anybody and everybody who wants the opportunity to hear about the principles and to meet some beautiful speakers is open and available, and that's at kindmindacademy.ca on Facebook. And that is also the name of my landing page to be able to register for those classes. And they run currently on 2 days a week because some of the speakers can't make it on the days that we would like to have them. So I open up the opportunity for change. And so I have Mondays mornings and Tuesday mornings happen currently.
Yeah, in Canada. And here in Sweden, it's Monday evenings or Tuesday evenings.
Yes, beautiful. And I think I might be switching that up for you all, where we may be having an evening class so that other people around the world can join, inclusive of yourself being available in the mornings. And again, that's at kindmindacademy.ca. And currently I'm running a course up and coming for people in business who are looking to get at ease and some peace with having the opportunity to speak to business, commercial conversations, where we create connection and we have an offer and we share that offer in a peaceful, easy place, and we detach from the outcome. And so I have a beautiful group of mentors that support that class that come at the end of the 8 weeks, and they give you some feedback, and it's a rich experience in a group where people can practice and play and be a part of a community where business is at the forefront. So that's coming soon in March, and actually we're completing the last day. The mentors and the mentees are meeting today for their final class tonight, so we'll see what happens. There'll be more business people out in the world.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I think what you're doing is fabulous for the world, for the Swedish, European, and Canadian world globally.
Yeah. We are all connected.
We are, in such a beautiful way, in the speed of love.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. So see you soon, and have a great day.
You too. Have a beautiful evening.